Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 24, and I'll get the Word of God right up here on the screen. Praise God. Oh, and if you have your cell phones, please put them on the silent position. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I've entitled this morning's message, Radical Times Requires Radical Measures. Radical Times Requires Radical Measures. My friends, we are living in a time of uncertainty. Perilous times. We're going to read in the Word of God what Jesus had prophesied 2,000 years ago. And no one can figure out during that time how these things were going to come to play. But I'm here to let you know that everything that he has shared with the world 2,000 years ago, all of the prophecies that he prophesied is all converging at once in the time that we live in right now. This message is not to be fearful, but it's to be faithful. Can I get amen? We are to walk in faith and not by sight, because Jesus told us that we would see perilous times. And so if you're there in the scriptures, let's go there. In Matthew 24, 1 through 35, and then we're gonna expound this. We're going to break this down. And it reads, "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down.'" He was talking about the immediate temple that they saw on the opposite side. We've been to Israel many times, and the Mount of Olives is on one side, and then you can see across the Kidron Valley, you can see the eastern gate to the temple. And so just imagine they were there on that side as he's sharing with them what they were seeing. We're reading it right now because we've been there so many times. And then it says, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?' And Jesus answered and said, 'Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many.'" Throughout the course of history, that has happened so many times. All these false prophets, all these false Christs. I think the last one I could remember was David Horesh in Texas, where they had a compound out there. And it was a cult, obviously, but he was claiming to be the Christ. And so many have come throughout the past 2,000 years. But let's move on. It goes on to say in verse 6, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." So we're seeing right now, in real time, the beginning of sorrows. There's two major wars already in the world, one in Ukraine and one in Israel. And many many believe the next big war could maybe even be on this land. Because we got a lot of enemies now. We got Russia, China, North Korea, we got Iran, South America, which is Venezuela, and Cuba that hate us. We need to be about our Father's business. Can I get an amen? Look at this in verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and what? Have a birthday cake? No. Kill you. And will be hated by nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and hate one another. We see that right now, don't we? Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, because lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. I've seen so many people in the past 34 years of people that started on fire for God, and now they're not even in church no more. They become cold. They don't want to do anything. They want nothing to do with God. Jesus said it would happen. Look at this, verse 13. But he who endures in the end shall be what? Saved. God is asking the church to endure. And look at this. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. They're already started to build the third temple. The red heifers are there, for those of you who have been following. And everything that goes into the holy place, the tabernacle, is already set in place. Some of you who probably were going to Israel and have been postponed because of the war, probably won't get to see all those things there, because they're all there to see that what's about to take place on the mountain. Look at this. He goes on to say in verse 16, then those who are in Judea flee the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babes in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. They attacked Israel on a Sabbath day, on Shabbat. It was a surprise attack. Look at this. Jesus went on to say, for then there will be one great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, that's God's elect, Israel and us, we've been grafted in by faith. We have the same now privileges as Abraham by faith. Look at this. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to what? To deceive, if possible, even the elect. Let me just say this. The biggest deception right now around the world, especially in our country, is our media. It's not telling us any kind of truth. A week ago, and you can Google search it now, but our media still won't put it on television. But Google search what I'm saying. It's true. Just Google search. But Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday of last week, Russia has been preparing the whole nation, their nation, for nuclear drills. Every one of their members in their country have radioactive suits. And they know that they're about to engage in a nuclear war, probably with us. Probably with us. And who is training us? Where's our bunkers? They all have bunkers. Come on, Google search what I'm saying. I'm not telling you a lie up here. Google search Russia preparing nuclear drills. Just search that, and boom, you're going to see all the news feeds on that and confirm what I'm saying. But our country's deceiving us and not telling us to be ready. I'm telling you, saints, we are living in treacherous times. Why would God allow a war to come here? Because this nation has fallen deep into sin. And no one wants to tell the truth. When you have 62 million babies that are aborted, the blood is crying from the ground. I know this is not a popular message, but God said, bring the truth today. Bring the truth today. I don't care if they cancel me. You can cancel me off YouTube or whatever. I don't care. The number one gross sin in this country is sex trafficking. And all these millionaires and billionaires are paying for these innocent people that are being abducted across the border, bringing them in for their gratification. Our children are bound up in drugs and alcohol. You can't even go to San Francisco no more. It's horrible. There's needles on the street. They defecate on the street. It used to be a beautiful place to visit. How many have noticed all the homelessness around now? And one of the things that we're going to read right now is there's 7-point-plus earthquakes around the world like never before. Let's finish up on this, and then we're going to break this all down. Let's go back to the word here. Verse 21, for there will be a great tribulation such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe. Look at this, verse 27. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. This is telling us there's going to be such a war around the world. It's going to be so hideous that God has to call the eagles to come eat the carcasses. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. And the powers of the heavens will be what? Shaken. Shaken. This is all prophetic, and it's about to take place. Look at this in verse 30. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then the tribes of the earth will mourn. Why will they mourn? Because they've been told, they've been warned, they've been preached to, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But people are ignoring that Jesus came to save them. And so every day in our country is business as usual. Everyone's going about, oh, you know what? You know, I got to go to work. You know, I'm not getting along with this person. You know, COVID hit. Everything, we're just going day to day. And little do we know what is about ready to take place. It's going to be a suddenly. Just like COVID came suddenly. It came suddenly, didn't it? And we all had to go home. Well, all these things that Jesus is talking about will be a suddenly. And you're going to remember what you heard today or what you've been hearing already. And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven and power of great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together the elect from the four winds of the heaven to the other. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, he goes on to say this. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that It is near at the door. We're seeing all these prophetic signs now. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Wow. So, let's look at this. What does this mean to you and me? What is Jesus' message? What is Matthew 24 mean to you? Well, there's groups out there. They're called all millennials. They're preterists. These are doctrines of devils. They believe that Revelation and all these things have already passed and that things are getting better. How many believe things are getting better? I'm here to let you know, things are going to get darker. But the church of the living God, us, we're going to become brighter. Can I get amen? We have to be brighter. We got to let a people that's perishing know that there's hope. There's hope. When they see you walk into a store, when they see you walk into their home, you have to show them the hope of glory. The anointing of God should be upon you. Can I get amen? They need to see Jesus. How many people have you invited to church and they say, oh, yeah, I'll see you Sunday. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'll see you at men's study. Yeah, I'll see you at women's. And they never show up. Can I get amen? So the only Jesus they're ever going to see is your life. Is your life. Is God emulating out of your life? Is the anointing of God upon your life? Is the presence of God upon your life? Because that's what's going to be the game changer, is Jesus living inside of you, the hope of glory. And when you touch someone, when you share with someone, hallelujah, things start to change. You should walk into a room and that atmosphere should change. Hallelujah. Why? Because the light has come in the midst of darkness. And we live in a dark world. Can I get amen? So there's hope. There's hope. There's hope for us. There's hope for the church. And so, let's move on. Let's look at this. We need to look at the prophetic keys in Matthew 24. And it's in verses 6 through 8. Let's go there. Look at this. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Since 1948, that's where you want to put the stake down and begin the prophetic time clock. For thousands and thousands of years, the Jews were scattered. Why were they scattered? Because they fell into idolatry. They were God's chosen people, and they chose to sin. They chose to rebel against God. So God brought enemies to them. The Babylonians came in. Then the Romans came in and just obliterated them, destroyed their temple, and scattered them. Now, they've been scattered for 2,900 years. And where did they go? They went into countries like Russia, into Poland, into Europe. There were Jews in China and Africa. Believe it or not, they were scattered. And God said, in one day, I will bring them back to their land and they will become a nation. And that was 1948. And now Israel is there surrounded by all her enemies that hate. What do they hate? Israel? Why? Because of what their Quran book says. In the Quran, of what these Arabs read, it's their marching orders. So, you know how we have scriptures in the Bible? Their scriptures are called surah. And throughout their word of God, they call it the word of God, but it's all it is. It's demonic, it's evil. They call them Allah. But throughout their scriptures, it says, look for the Jew, look for the infidel, hide behind a tree, and then kill them. They are training their children from a young age on how to hate the Jew and to kill them. Why do they have so much hate? I told our friend Rabbi, we were there standing with him the other day. He called me the next day and was mighty thankful. He goes, I love that guitar player you brought. He loved Pastor Andre. The music he was playing while people were getting seated. He goes, I never heard anything like it. I go, neither did I. But he goes, Reverend, why do you suppose they hate us so bad? I said, Rabbi, how many times you read the New Testament? He goes, I read it many times. Okay, well, go back to Matthew. Go back to the prophets. Why do they hate? Because Jesus is coming back to sit on the throne of David in Israel. Other than holding nothing back. I said, this is a spiritual battle. This is Satan against God. This is good against evil. And so the Arabs, the Muslims, they want to prove that the God of our Bible is not real and doesn't exist. You see, when you go to Israel, I've been there many times, we never tell them that we're Christians. You know what we address? We're believers in Yeshua. Then you know what? How they respond? Oh, you guys are people of the book. So they call us the people of the book because we believe what is written. And I said, you know what? It was written for you too. Go just read in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, God says, I will save you. And you know, it opens a door. But I'm saying all this because this is a spiritual battle. This is not against flesh and blood. The devil's trying to stop these prophets. You know, the devil knows the Bible. He's read it too. And he knows that his days are short. Satan knows he's going to be cast into the lake of fire one day. So he's trying to get as many people to turn to his side in an evil way. Can I get an amen? And so it says, you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. Now, if you take the word nation in the Greek, it's ethnicity. Meaning different ethnicities will rise up against each other. We see this in our own country right now. Don't we see that? Look at this. And kingdom against kingdom, there will be famines. Look at all the homeless now in our streets. Look at Africa. There's parts of Africa that they wish they had something to eat. Here, if you're starving, you can go get what's called one of those cards? You can just swipe your card and you got food. EBT. They don't have a card to swipe. They'll be lucky to have a bowl of rice maybe every 2 days. Pestilences. We just seen COVID. And I hear there's something else coming again. That's going to be unleashed. Earthquakes in various places. Earthquakes. Did you know there's earthquakes around the world every day now? Every day now. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. You see, saints, all these are converging all at once now. Never in the history of mankind have we ever seen the increase of wars, diseases, earthquakes, volcanoes, famines, and unusual weather patterns. Come on. Look at the tornadoes and the hurricanes and the floods. And then they freeze. And then the drought. Can you recall when California was in a drought for 8 years? And then we just saw flooding in the east. It says, usually weather patterns all coming at once as Jesus prophesied that would happen before his return. Look what it says here up in the Word of God. In John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. He wants us Christians to have that inner peace, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he went on to say, in the world you will have what? A rose garden. You could be dancing through the tulips every day. Some of you still have that song by Tiny Tim. He says, you will have tribulation. But then he goes on to say, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Say that with me. I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. This is why we are not to walk in fear, but walk in faith. Why? Because Jesus, the hope of glory, lives within us. Paul said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Go ahead and drop the bombs. I'll be with him. And as soon as I can't breathe here on earth, the next breath will be with him in heaven. Can I get amen? We got the hope of glory. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting, for he is good. And then he goes on here in Matthew, look at this. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. How many know Apophis is coming in 29? Huh? What are you talking about? I'm talking about that big meteor that's headed our way. Go to NASA's website. It's the woodworm prophecy in Revelation 8. And guess where it's scheduled to hit? The West Coast. If that thing literally hits us, the woodworm prophecy in Revelation says over 2 billion people will die just on impact. And it's headed our way. They say 3 years before it hits, you'll be able to see it in the sky like the moon or a star so bright coming our way. Search it out. It's there. It's called Apophis. Apophis. And it says, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with power and great glory. How many can't wait for that moment? Huh? How many can't wait for that moment? Because this is what he promises to do in this next verse. Right here, look at this. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Praise God. All the believers around the world, Jesus is going to gather unto himself. Can I get an amen? If you're not excited about that, you need to get saved today. Somebody need to get saved today. If you're not jumping up and down saying, God, you're going to come get me, God. You're not going to leave me in this condition, oh God. You better get saved if you're not happy. If you love this world more than Jesus is appearing, something is out of order. Praise God, because everything is slipping away. That's right. I remember my brother Dave can attest, we had a flag football league when we were in our 20s. We could run like a deer. I could barely get out of bed now. Oh, come on. This body will eventually fail us. Can I get amen? Everything's slipping away. Everything's slipping away. And don't worry, I won't put you on blast up here. But I see some of you walking like a turtle now. Praise God. Saints, we are going through many types of tribulations. But God's perfect will for our lives will take preeminence over these last days and times. Can I get an amen? So here's the key. Here's the key right now. Stay in the center of God's will. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Don't let none of this that you see affect you, but stay in the center of God's will. Stay in prayer. Stay in fellowship. Stay on your knees crying out to God. Have your communication open with Him. Can I get amen? Allow God to speak to you. Because He wants to tell you something that's good. Can I get amen? Now, number one, knowing the will of God for you. Do you know what the will of God is for you? Do you know? Do you know what the scriptures think about you, what God thinks about you? You have to know that it's good. Can I get amen? We find this in Jeremiah. Look at this. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. And when you search for me with all your heart. How many of you can honestly say, and give me a true show of hands. How many of you have given your heart to the Lord and were baptized? Come on. Come on. You guys haven't back there? You too haven't got baptized? Come on, lift up your hands if you've been baptized and saved. Yeah, come on. Amen. Praise God. All right, I'm going to ask you this next question. Who has not been baptized yet? Raise up your hands. Ooh, we got one, two, three. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, let me just say this. Our jacuzzi is always ready. Hallelujah. And if you think that's too small, we'll take you to my brother's pool. The Bible says, one of the disciples, Philip, he told the eunuch, he said, here's water, what hinders you now? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look what else we got up here in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. We need to give thanks always. We need to pray without ceasing. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Look what it says in the book of Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his what? To do his will. There it is. Working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I only got a few more principles, but number two, remain faithful to God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
How many can honestly say your whole entire agenda, your whole life from this point on is to remain faithful to God? Can I get amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's our only hope.
Yes, he is.
He's our provider.
Yes, he is.
He will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah. If everything's cut off, food, water, God will still supply our needs according to his riches and glory. Can I get an
amen?
God, King David said, I've never seen his seed begging bread. Can I get an
amen?
Look at this. In Deuteronomy, therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. You shall walk in the ways of the Lord your God, who has commanded you, that you may live, and that it be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall what? Possess. God has given us this land to possess. And so God said he will take care of us. Even all the chaos is going around you. Don't be deceived of what you see. Can I get amen? Because God is with us. He's with the church of the living God. The born-again church, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, and heaven-bound now and now there's a hell to shun. Praise God. Look at this. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful. One more time. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. Whatever pickle we find ourselves in, whether it was done to us or we did it ourselves, God will still make a way of escape for you. As a child, can I get amen? He'll make a way. Oh, that's right. Yeah, and he'll take you to the whooping shed. I've been there before. I've been to the whooping. But listen, I'd rather be chastised by God than to be punished by the devil. Can I get an amen? The devil's ruthless. He'll shoot you and try to maim you and try to kill you and try to snuff you out. And God comes and chastises. All right, yeah, I need you to take time out. You're going to learn from this, but I still want to use you. Can I get amen? Amen. There's a difference of being chastised and then being punished. You run with the devil long enough, you'll get punished. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. The devil is a liar. And if he tries to take you out, it's because you were in his camp. Get out of the devil's camp. No longer needed in the devil's camp. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. We got a new dance partner now. Hallelujah. And that's the Holy Ghost. Come on, we got a different camp now. We can praise and worship and glorify God and magnify God. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. Listen, another key, stay in fellowship with one another. We need each other. Don't be an island all by yourself. Oh, man, I just want you online. I don't need to go. I just watch you online. Well, we're thinking of going offline. Hallelujah. We're thinking of going offline. Thank you, God. I've been praying about this. Praise God. Praise God. Why? Because I want people to come and eat the Word of God. If I'm preparing a table for you, come and eat the Word of God. Can I get amen? Look at this. I found this in the Living Bible translation. What fellowship we had. What wonderful discussion as we walked together to the temple of the Lord on the holy days. Come on. We need to fellowship with one another. Can I get amen? I shared this. Listen. Listen to me clearly. I shared this with our ministry this morning. God gave it to me. And then Pastor Rod confirmed it. If you have any ought, meaning any discord, if you have something against a family member, a friend, a co-worker, God is saying, get it right now. Bridge that gap. Forgive that person and walk in peace. You know why? Because when Jesus comes and you still are hating your brother or sister, he may not take you with him. Can I get amen? Amen. Bible says love one another. If you've been hearing my Wednesday night teachings, I'm in 1 John, 2 John, 3rd. It's all about loving one another. But see, if you're not in your word, you're never going to know. So I took one of those passages from Wednesday night right up here. Look at this in 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, when you're walking right before God, you can walk with one another in the joy and the purity. But how can you? You go, man, no. No. I don't want a fellowship with that. Come on. Come on. Look at this. Look at the book of Hebrews says, and let us consider one another in order to what? Stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. You know what that means? There's people that stopped coming to church. When COVID hit, they stayed home. A lot of them never returned. They're still at home. But we're told in the scriptures right here, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves as in the manner of some. Some have already done that. But exhorting one another, encouraging one another, as so much the more as you see the day approach. What's the day approach? Capital D? That's the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. And for some who are walking in the dark, it's going to be like a thief in the night. It's like someone breaking into your house and you don't even knew, didn't have a clue that person was breaking into your house. Just like the invasion in Israel. It was like a thief that broke in through that barrier. We're to encourage one another. Now, are we going to live a perfect life? No. So we're encouraged. Get up when you fall down. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We're going to slip. We're going to say things. We may even do something that's inappropriate. But don't stay there.
That's right.
Don't stay there. Get up. Look at this. Bible says right here in Proverbs 24, for a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. The wicked will fall in calamity, but we have to walk in righteousness. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Look at this in Psalms 37. The steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. And he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds his hand. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, God says you're a good man. Oh, come on. You see, the good man, the steps of a good man are ordered by the who?
By the Lord.
By the Lord. And he delights in his way. Can I get amen?
Amen?
See, this word right up here, sometimes it's hard for people to chew on. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But that's okay. Hallelujah. God said, preach it anyway. Hallelujah. Huh?
It's not milk.
This ain't tiptoe through the tulip day. Oh, God is love. I don't know about you, but when we went to stand with Israel at Temple Beth Shalom, I can't believe what I saw up there. And that's the way of the world now. Though he fall, he shall not be what? Utterly cast down. Praise God. Praise God. Now look at this. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested where? In our bodies. God wants to see us emulate the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And more importantly, saints, we need to stay in fellowship with Jesus. I'm going to ask this question. I'm only asking it in a transparent way. And I don't want to see a show of hands, because I don't want to put nobody on blast on this. But my question is this. Do you have a prayer life? Do you have a devotional time with God? Is Jesus you talk to every day and in fellowship, that he will direct your life? Or do you just get up in the morning, have your breakfast, and on your way? When you come home, you'll say a prayer like this. Amen. And then you tear up your food. Is that the only time you pray to him? We have to stay in fellowship with him. He is the living God. He's the one that lives inside of us. Look at this. This is clear as simple in the book of John. John 15, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. Wow. That's a serious matter. Look at this. If you abide in me, Jesus said, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Okay. Here's what the fruit means. Is it emanating out of your life? The fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, gentleness. And that's the heart issue. That's the fruit that comes from your heart. But also, do you care about someone getting saved? Are you praying for the sick? Are you praying for the homeless? Are you doing, is it just thought, or is there any deeds behind it? Actually going and praying. Actually going and feeding. Actually going and lifting each other up. Having Bible studies. Are we doing this? Because God wants to see fruit from your life. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. When we were blessed with our home 27 years ago, it's been used for God. Can I get an amen? My brother can attest. I shared with everyone. As soon as we got our home, I remember Yolanda and I, we were at Del Mar Fair coming out of one of the exhibits, and right there on the grounds were like 100 jacuzzis. And I went immediately to go speak to one of the sales guys. And Yolanda says, we don't need one of them. Come on, let's go. I go, wait, honey, I'm just trying to find out how much that costs. She goes, we don't need one of those. I said, sir, give me a moment. I took Yolanda to the side. I go, honey, God just gave me a vision. She goes, what did he show you? I go, that we're going to baptize so many souls at one of these jacuzzis. We need to get one. She goes, go finish your deal. This is what I love about Sister Yolanda. When it comes to the things of God, she don't interfere. She come alongside. She goes, if God spoke to you, I'm coming alongside with you and praying with you and holding your hands up. And they had to crane that jacuzzi from the behind my property is an embankment, and then it's a parking lot, and then there's right now there's Chase Bank. They had to crane it from down below over the fence because it would not fit between our gate. They had to crane that thing down. And since it's been there, precious souls have been baptized in Jesus' name. Just a quick show of hands. How many got baptized in that jacuzzi? Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Oh, yes. God is good. And you know what God showed me? There's going to be more. There's going to be more. More are going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. More are going to get baptized, saved. Hallelujah. They're going to turn from darkness to God's marvelous light. They're going to grow in the grace and knowledge. That's the vision that God has given us. Hallelujah. And I can't wait. How many can't wait for that moment? I can't wait to see lives transformed. Hallelujah. Because that's what's called the fruit. Are you bearing fruit? Yolanda and I, we want to stand before the Lord and say, God, we've done everything you asked us to do. We've dedicated this home. We got the jacuzzi for the souls. Oh God, let us be worthy. Let us be worthy of you saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what I want to hear. Do you want to hear that? Do you want to hear that from your life? Get on fire for God. Get on fire for God. Can I get amen? And look at this. Anticipate the Lord's return with great joy. Don't walk around like you drank prune juice. You be coming now. I'm not done yet. Man. Because Jesus said it best. We're coming in for a close. But Jesus said this. Listen to the words of the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many what? Mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know. Look what he said, look what he told Thomas. Remember doubting Thomas? Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except what?
Through me.
Praise God. Praise God. And so he's going to prepare a place for you. How many of you have seen the movie Before the Wrath? We showed it here. Okay, real quickly, when he says, let me go back to the scripture right here. I want you to see this. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He goes, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Real quickly, Jesus and his apostles were Galileans. They were from the Galilean area. Okay? They have a wedding tradition. And in their tradition, the father and his son goes through the town looking for a woman that will betrothed, will get betrothed with his son. And they come and bring gifts and everything. And once they found her, they make the covenant there. She becomes betrothed to him. Then he goes away. I'm just paraphrasing. He goes away to prepare a place for her. And he's gone about a year's time. And she goes and gets prepared by the women to prepare to be the wife. And then no one knows when he's coming back for her. And when he comes, when finally he has prepared the house, he comes for her. They blow the shofars in the town and the people run out. And then she's there with her bridesmaid prepared. And then they come and they bring the, it's called the, I want to pronounce this correct. It looks like the word ladder, but it's not. But it's a device where they come. It looks like two long bamboo sticks, and then there's a seat in the center. And when they consummate the deal, she steps in it, and then they lift her up and they carry her back to the Father's house. What is that a picture of?
Rapture.
The rapture. The rapture. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes in the sky, he's going to what? Lift us up out of here. And then he's going to carry us, hallelujah, to the place he has prepared for us. Are you ready, though? The question is, are you ready? It's about to happen. We're seeing the signs. God said, get ready, get ready, get ready. It's about to happen. And so one of the things that we must do, and we'll close, this is what's going to prepare you. This message was preparation of what's happening and how Jesus is coming soon. Churches won't teach you this. They don't care if you're living in sin. Just keep putting money in the bucket. We're going to tell you how to live. You live your own life. Just don't miss the bucket. My goodness. But look at this right here in Titus. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. Teaching what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, Look at why. Why should we be walking with a pure heart? Why should we be walking godliness? Why should we not be entangled with the world again? Why should do we need to forgive one another? Because it says right here, it says looking, say that with me, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at this. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are his special people. Look at this. Zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. What does that mean? That means, you know what? Live uprightly no matter who laughs at you. No matter who ridicules you. Don't look at their faces. They'll disappoint you. Preach truth and love. Tell them who Jesus is. Do not be ashamed to open your mouth and say, you know what? Jesus loves you too, even with your prune face. God still loves you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh yeah, there's some people that don't want to hear it. Well, some people left already. They don't want to hear truth. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Oh, come on. When the truth comes, it hits them right in the ear. And they'll walk away. They don't want to hear truth. Can I get amen? But we're here, truth, right? Because God has called us. You know why? How many believe that you are already a citizen in heaven? Huh? How many believe that you're a citizen? You're a citizen. You're a citizen in heaven. You know why? Because your names are written in the book of life. And I got proof right up here. Look at this. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. Meaning, he's going to change us in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord. God's going to give us that brand new body, a body that will not decay. It will never grow old. Can I get amen? It'll never have disease anymore. It will never have a cursing mind. It will never have anger and bitterness. You'll never hate one another anymore. Hallelujah. We'll have the brand new body like his that rose from the grave on that third day. He's the first prototype, and we're going to have one like his. How many can't wait to have a body like his? Only one person raise their hand. Praise God. I'll raise my hand with you. And so, are you as prepared as can be? You're going to get prepared if you see missiles flying this way. You know how Jesus said there's wars and rumors? Well, one of the rumors is this. Because Jesus said there will be rumors. That means chatter yet to be manifested. That's what it means in the Greek. It's chatter yet to be manifested. But this country may be getting a surprise attack soon. And you better be ready. Spiritually. Not physically, spiritually. Do you know Jesus? Is he your Savior? Are you born again? Do you love God? Are you waiting for his return? Bible says when he comes, he's looking for those who are looking for him. Are you looking for him? Or are you looking to pick a fight with someone? Are you looking for him? I'm going to ask Brother Hunter to come up. I'm coming in for a close. Just play something song. My question is this. If you don't know who the Lord is today, my heart's crying out. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. I'm speaking to those who are logged in on YouTube and Facebook. If you don't know Jesus, this is your opportunity right now to know the living God. going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you. If you've never given your heart, you're not ready. Today's the day that you hear God's voice. Harden not your heart, for today is the day of salvation. And I'm hope that this message will have gotten to you. It wants to get past your intellect and touch your spirit, man. Because we can all be intellectual about this. But God is going past that. He's touching your heart, your soul. That you need to get right with God. And I'm praying for those here that have never given their heart as well. I'm going to ask that you would say this prayer by faith. Mean it from your heart. The Bible says, confess to God. Confess that you have sinned before a holy God. All of us, the Bible says, we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we now have a risen hope. And that hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if that's you watching, and maybe those that are here, I'm going to ask that you would bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Listen, if you need any prayer, come on up.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.